You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Now, I never saw the first film, Ingrid Goes East. Was that any good?
No, but I thought this was a sequel to the Emoji film.
No, there will never be a sequel to the Emoji film.
Oh, no, no, you are so wrong.
Not if I have to kill every person in Hollywood. No, I didn't even see that fucking movie, whatever.
Sadly enough, people did.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm kind of hoping that enough people actually do see Ingrid Goes West.
I do, too.
Yes.
And I do feel like you probably liked it a little bit, a smidge, more than I did. But I did enjoy it. I will say this. I felt like I was having a panic attack while I was watching it. Because
I was tickling you.
Because Ingrid's character, played awesomely by Aubrey Plaza, who's proving herself to be a very talented, multi-ranged actress.
Oh, yes.
Is, like, it's single white female if the character the antagonist was the protagonist, and we're taking her journey with her.
Yes.
And watching that play out as realistically and as Aubrey Plaza brings it to us, you feel sympathy and are horrified by her at the same time, and you also recognize things in yourself.
I think it's always and.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an or. She, you know, there's something captivating about her performance and her ability to be like, yeah, I like her. But Aubrey Plaza always brings the crazy, but it's not the same version of crazy. She has this deep well of lunacy that she can pull on for different performances, and I think she makes choices in her career where she could go bland, and she can do, you know, what's his face and thingy need wedding dates when she needs to.
Yeah, or the most unfortunate role for her, the slutty girl in Bad Grandpa, which is like, are you doing? Why are you in this?
But then she can do things like, obviously Parks and Recreation.
Yeah. Legion.
Life After Beth.
Life After Beth.
And here, where she plays Ingrid, who is, you get the feeling Ingrid at a certain level is, she means well.
Yes.
She just doesn't know what that entails, because you first see her very upset because she hasn't been invited to a wedding. So her response to not being invited to this wedding is to go to the reception and mace the bride.
Yes.
And then you quickly discover that, like, she doesn't really know her. She's just their Facebook friends.
Yeah, they had a mild at best social media connection.
But when for Ingrid, that's everything. That's, you know, she's been at home looking after her terminally ill mother who has now died. And Ingrid is just kind of like, she doesn't know how to really approach people. And this is what the story is really about, that she's, you know, socially very malformed. And she suddenly decides, you know what, I'm going to abandon my old life because I'm not really connected to it.
Yes.
Even though she clearly is, just not in any way she realizes. I'm going to move to California and purposefully become friends with this girl called Taylor, who she's following on Instagram.
Played by Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes.
Who is in a relationship with Wyatt Russell, who I think has big things ahead of him.
Oh, yes. Saying.
Yeah. And you're right off the bat, like, dreading, because you just saw this play out. And she's like, no, I'm fine now. She's like, we see she went to a hospital. In between there somewhere, all that Legion stuff happened.
Yeah. This is a weird spinoff.
Yeah, exactly. But she's like, no, I'm fine. This is normal. And you know right off the bat, this is definitely not normal. She goes out there, manages to, like, get herself into these people's lives by abducting their dog and then pretending she found it. And is in this weird antagonistic relationship with her landlord, who's just a guy who's, like, subleasing an apartment to her, played by O'Shea Jackson
Jr.,
who also, I believe, has a lot of, like,
he's great in this, because he plays this guy who basically makes fan films and gets high and deals a little coke on the side just because, like, it's L.A.
Yeah.
And is fabulously nerdy and well-intentioned.
Yeah.
And it's you know, after Straight Outta Compton, this is not the kind of role you would have thought he'd go for, but I think he's deliberately, in a very sensible way, gone, I'm not going to take the predictable roles.
Yeah, he is a total nerd, but once again, as you said, it's L.A., so, you know, it was something you just do to get by. You deal some coke on the side. You have a gun in your car, but you're not going to use it. Yeah, and he's... doesn't know what to make of Ingrid. He just can't put it together because he's like, thinks she's really nice, but something's off about her. And then she totally fucks him over in the worst way. And he still can't really bring himself to do the sensible thing and say, stay the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
Because she's, in this one particular instance, kind of good at manipulating him.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. She's you have a character who is very good at manipulating people.
Mm.
And her nemesis is actually the one person who's even better, which is Billy Magnussen as Nicky, who's Taylor's brother.
Yeah.
Who really is, like, you're kind of going, I don't really like Ingrid, but at least she's kind of, you know, for everything she does wrong, it's kind of from the right
reasons.
She just doesn't know how to interact with people. He really is a monster.
He's a yucky,
such an interesting clash.
Frat boy who you're sure has been accused of rape before.
Oh, you know, the odd time or two.
Yeah.
he just has a datey, rapey kind of vibe to him all over. And he's possibly the only point where this goes, you know, because this is a very finely balanced, you know, social satire and personality comedy. It fits into the mold of something like, I mean, you know, Single White Female is the obvious reference point, but it's also something like, you know, what about Bob?
Absolutely.
It has that kind of feel to it of you know, social discomfort. Its innovation is that it does show you from the viewpoint of the stalker rather than the stalkee, which actually I got the chance to talk to Matt Spicer, the writer-director, and he said this was very deliberate because you never see that angle. It's always like, oh, who's going to leap out of the cupboard? It's like you're actually inside the cupboard with her going like, what am I doing again? Why am I up to that?
You know she's mentally ill, and you're horrified at points of the things she's doing, but you never stop sympathizing with her either. And I think that in this day and time when we really do need more sympathetic portraits of people with mental illness, film in its way is kind of important.
I mean, it's also definitely a film about social media.
Mm.
And they actually use Instagram, which makes it feel much more authentic. Because, I mean, how many films have we seen where it's like...
Instabam!
Yeah, pictogram!
Yeah.
And he's like, it just doesn't feel right, because you know how these things operate, and, you know, there's something very instinctual. And they actually go, no, we're just going to use these things. And it feels much more authentic, which allows them to kind of broaden the comedy occasionally. And I think, you know, that's, you know, being more grounded gives you more latitude, and that's part of the success here.
And if you like awkward comedy, I think there's some very funny parts here. I mean, it almost feels Mike White-ish at points. It gets so kind of stomach-churning, but you're laughing at the same time.
And also, it does make some... without kind of being really didactic, it does make some really good points. And there's some moments where you're looking at it, you're looking at Taylor and going, like, when you open up your life like this and commoditize your social media experience, and she is, you know, she's clearly sponsored. She is a professional Instagram star. Again, look at it and go like, well, what, you know,
or what do they call them? Influencers.
Yeah, what, you know, this is, you've kind of crossed you've opened the door to letting somebody like Ingrid in, and she is manipulative in her own way.
I mean, that's part of what affected me about this, watching this, as somebody who, like, definitely has a big social media presence and interacts with a lot of people on a regular basis who I don't know at all.
Yeah.
You know, there's always that part of you that goes, what if this person is the one who thinks now that you're chatting with them online, you're best friends, and they're just going to show up at your door and be violent or bizarre when you're like,
Hi.
Who are you?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know you. So, yeah, and one of my favorite parts about Wyatt Russell as Ezra O'Keefe, Taylor's boyfriend.
He's such a hopeless hippie.
He's a hopeless hippie. But there's these wonderful moments of tension where he's the only one who realizes there's something wrong with everybody's relationship with social media in this film.
Yes.
And it's very subtly done. It doesn't throw, again, it doesn't throw anything in your face, which for something which has moments of quite broad comedy is quite an achievement. You know, he does this art with, he does art with hashtags on it that he doesn't sell. Yeah. And if, you know, he is the complete antithesis in some beautiful, tiny character beats where this really does pay off seeing twice, to be quite honest with you, because there's moments you'll go, huh, didn't spot that first time through. And I think this is really a very successful film.
He's, yeah, you're right. He's the one guy who seems to see what's wrong with the way everybody's acting and yet is still in the middle of this anyway and has a, there's a heartbreaking and wonderful scene where he's been just like, he right off the bat doesn't like Nikki any more than Ingrid does.
Yeah.
And Nikki is almost sort of the image of everything that's shallow and fake on the internet, but it all encapsulated in a human-esque form. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know,
he's only missing cats.
Well, I think he is the broadest element of it, and that's deliberate. I, Billy Magnussen gets points for making a character who is so despicable. That's no mean achievement in a film where you are supposed to have sympathy for a character you wouldn't want anywhere near you. So well done, sir.
But there's that moment where Aubrey Plaza and Wyatt Russell are talking, and it's after Wyatt has been very upset and like gone off on his own after Nikki has just treated him and like shit. And it's a real human moment.
Yeah.
And it's one of the few times in seeing her interact with other people up until close to the end that she kind of breaks through to being genuine for a moment. And it's almost, you're rooting for her so hard in that moment. And it changes almost the tone of the whole rest of the movie after that, because you know, for the first time in this movie, for sure, there's a light coming in, you know, at the end of the tunnel for this woman.
This is a film which has some very mixed emotions about how it ends, about its entire process.
Yes.
But wisely so. This is a film that doesn't have a nice, clean ending at any level. You kind of go, you know, there's dark spots and there's spots of brightness all the way through, and it really balances that really, really impressively well. And for a first-time feature, which with a pretty impressive cast.
Yeah.
I mean, you got
of young up and comers, but remarkable young up and comers.
Yeah, I'm really super impressed by this. This is Elizabeth Olsen very definitely more in Marcy May Marlene territory.
Yeah.
than Scarlet Witch. Yeah, I have an awful lot of time for this, and I think it's something that definitely deserves an audience at this point. We're in a good run. We're in a good summer.
We are. I've seen like something like four really great movies in a row, and I'm like, what is happening right now? It's still August. This should be the doldrums right now.
We are in a fine time for indie cinema, I gotta say.
Yeah, seriously. This is the year indie cinema was decidedly much more interesting than most of the things Hollywood was producing.
And it's a combination of you know, first-time feature directors like Matt Spicer. Mm. Do tune in and listen to the review of Good Time, which is the Safdie brothers' real step into the big leagues after you know, a decade of small pictures.
Yes,
this is a year that started with Colossal.
Yeah,
and a strong start. I didn't think it was going to get much better than this. And this is Ingrid Goes West is being released by the same distribution house, Neon, who are off to a rollicking start.
Well, you know, they had a little bit of a misstep there, but
we
don't talk about the Bad Batch.
ever again.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the hardest years in a while for me to pick a top 10.
It's going to be tough.
Really tough.
And
I might have to have, like, 20 runners up.
Man, we didn't even mention Brigsby Bear.
Which is also one of my favorites of the year.
And but back to this.
Up for that, too. Yeah.
Should we?
Final thoughts this
my
bunch.
My final thoughts are that, you know, I love that Aubrey Plaza is already playing that game of one for the studio, one for her.
Yeah.
And the ones for the studio are so immemorable that all you come out thinking about is the ones for her, that she's taking difficult, complicated, unpleasant parts that honestly she's kind of reminding me of mid-80s Bill Murray.
Wow. Okay.
There's really that kind of ability to charm you while being off-putting that I think is really, it's a rare talent. You know, and I think she's got some really great character pieces ahead of her. You know, I think she's going to end up, you know, like when Sarah Silverman turns on the real, you know, the real acting ability and avoids the jokes. I'm waiting for that moment where Aubrey Plaza does a completely straight role because I think it's going to be phenomenal. But this is a great addition to her work. It's smart. It's incisive. I have to give this 8 likes out of 10.
Yeah, I've been calling Aubrey Plaza. I now have named her the Manic Pixie Nightmare Girl, which I think is absolutely dead on perfect description of Aubrey Plaza. She is one of those actresses that just continues to fascinate me with the things that she does. And this just adds onto that list. Once again, if you haven't watched Legion or you haven't watched Life After Beth, by all means.
Oh yeah, leap on that one. I think it's actually on Netflix.
I think it is too.
Oh yeah, don't miss that one.
Elizabeth Olsen, also an anomaly of an actress, because you're like, wait, aren't you related to those twins? You're like, no, she's the one with the talent.
Thing one and thing two.
Well, apparently they have a real talent for business. They're being incredibly successful as like doing fashion and perfumes and purses and what have you.
And being influencers.
Yes, I guess being influencers, which is probably where Elizabeth Olsen learned how to. Surely just went to her sister's like, so I'm having trouble getting into this part. Just be you.
Yeah,
let
just,
me watch
just,
you.
Like, they just sat there at Christmas like, you know, come play with us forever and ever. And she's like taking notes at the end of the table.
And O'Shea Jackson Jr. has so much charisma. I just can't wait to see what else he's going to be in.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just like you so much. And you have much more acting ability than your father.
Yeah.
Who is also very charismatic, but you've got more of the talent.
Plus, he can pronounce Earth.
Hey, there's...
That's a Ghost of Mars throwback, if you're wondering, folks.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a special... Sometimes you're supposed to mispronounce Earth. Like, welcome to Earth. You know, you're supposed to say things like that.
No.
And Wyatt Russell already said he's Kurt Russell's son. I would still totally watch a Big Trouble in Little China years later sequel where it's him playing his son and they're the two of them together. I mean, that's almost the only way I want to see another movie from that.
I mean...
But yeah, this is great. I think everybody should... I don't think it's for everybody. It decidedly
oh,
isn't.
No, no,
but
no.
The best movies aren't for everybody. If you yourself have ever had any... problems with social anxiety, I actually think you're going to find this absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
Maybe difficult to watch, but rewarding. I give this 8 out of 10 photos on Instagram with sunglasses on, because there's a lot of those in here. Why does everyone wear sunglasses on Instagram?
Smiley face!
Smiley face!
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to oneofus.net and don't forget your towel.